The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Thrilled to have a little bit more voice after 2 days off for the holidays. Hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, however you celebrate it. Happy holidays. I'm here with Pete Prisker and RJ White. We're going to do the Picks Podcast. If you want to go back and listen, we got two evergreen pods in the queue, though. You can go check out our Christmas Day 90-minute holiday mailbag. It's not actually holiday related. We just released it on holiday. Lots of Super Friends talk. And then we had a Hall of Fame discussion, which we actually should have gotten Pete for, because you're not a Hall of Fame voter, but you've been watching football for 65 years as a media member.
70, I think it is. If you're going to give me credit for it, give me the extra 5.
Were you born in did you like pop out of the womb and you're like, football, I love football?
I think I did, actually. It was, I'll tell you what, football was a big deal in my house since I was a kid.
Your mom was a huge Giants fan.
Loved it. She was a Phil Simms fan. I tell him all the time, throw it. She used to yell, throw it, Philip, throw it, Philip. And my dad would be sitting there going, run, pass. And then I told Simms that story, and he goes, we won some Super Bowls that way, didn't we? I go, yeah, you did.
RJ, happy holidays, buddy. How you doing?
Good. Happy holidays to you.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, we don't really celebrate until my brother flies in. We do a late Christmas. So,
how about you, Willie boy?
Yeah, it was awesome. We went to my in-laws last week, and then my in-laws came and stayed at our house on Christmas Eve. Opened up a bunch of presents. This is a really good Christmas. 5 years old is really fun for a kid, for your kid.
Yeah, like I bet he got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, he got, and like everything he would open, he would go, and like freak out, and everybody's videotaping it and getting all emotional, and the grandparents loved it. It was a great Christmas. So
what was awesome. I saw you tweet out something, a box full of baseball cards. What was that?
Yeah, so my mom, we went back to my parents' house on Christmas Day and spent, we're recording this on the day after Christmas, the 26th. You're listening on the 27th. You can also watch on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports. We have the video up there. We spent Christmas night at my parents' house, and, my mom was like, please get all your baseball cards and comic books the hell out of here. And I started digging through them. I think I'm going to make some cash off these. I'm going to try and sell them. I've got like a bunch of good comics and a bunch of good baseball cards from the 90s on. Ton of amazing Spider-Man and a bunch of,
You'll make money on your comics. You're making nothing on those baseball cards. That market has crashed.
I don't know though. The 92.
I'm telling you. Well, go on Netflix and watch. There's a documentary a guy did on baseball cards. It's just crap.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, it's because all the one, but like I'm saying, I've got stuff that was before it blew up. Like I've got cards from like 87 through 92 when before like they were mass printed.
I got cards from the 70s and they're worth nothing.
Oh, well. I didn't bring it up to my office, but I found, you remember, of course, the 92 Dream Team. I have the 10 card collection of all the coaches and each player, and I found all 10 of them. I looked online, like, it was up for sale on Etsy for like $1,400. That can't be right.
How about when you used to go to the Super Bowl, they used to give you, way back in the early 90s, they'd give you a special edition to the media, a special edition set of cards printed for each team with the Super Bowl logo on it. And I look at them and I looked it up, they're worth nothing. Zero.
How? Do you have a bunch of them?
I have a bunch of cards, yeah.
Why don't you give them to me and I'll give them to my cousins because they love football cards.
It'll be $100 for each cousin.
I have one cousin.
How many?
Let's get to our picks from last week. Oh my God, another bad week for me. I am trying to give away the CBS Sports Against the Spread title this year. Jared Dubin, Ryan Wilson storming on me. I went 1-3 in one of my best bets. That's miserable. 54% on the season now. I got a big slate coming up this week, and I don't mind it. I like the week 17 slate. So I don't want to say I checked out the last 2 weeks, but I need to get laser locked again for the final week and then make a great push into the playoffs. RJ 3-4. Unfortunately, you guys didn't really do anything to catch me. RJ 3-4-1. Pete 3-3-1. Pushes are dropped from the record, as you can see if you're watching on YouTube. 47% for RJ needs.
I'm only two behind you now, RJ.
Yeah,
you don't want to be in the cellar. You do not want to be in the cellar. I've spent the year in the cellar. It's not nice down there. It's ugly. It's gross.
Yeah,
they locked me in the cellar.
Nobody will remember that when I go 11-0 in the playoffs.
Wow.
Huge run.
Wow.
This makes
remember, I was playoff champion last year.
Barely.
Barely, but you know what? Close.
Yeah,
it's good for you.
One, yeah.
Close is only good in slow dancing and grenades. I mean, it doesn't matter. Well,
I came out on the positive side, so it's still a win. It's still a win for the pocketbook.
I've never heard the slow dancing version. I've heard horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah, slow dancing. You get close. You're close in slow dancing.
They ever put that
unless you were in Footloose and you used to have to put your hands
put
out
the
like
balloon.
That.
Put the balloon between you. Yeah. The middle school dance. Make sure you weren't getting all grindy.
You put the balloon. They actually put the balloon between you in middle school?
Nah.
See, I went to Catholic school when I was younger, so they didn't dare go do anything because you would have gotten cracked in the back of the head with a ruler.
Yeah.
You're just a good kid.
This may surprise you. Our parlay was not a winner.
No. Gosh, I would have swore it was a winner.
1-2. Arizona won outright. That Jacksonville-Atlanta over. How did that not hit?
Well, because the Falcons went up and down the field and didn't score. They turned it over.
Right.
I mean, they scored 14 points in the first five
minutes.
And
the Buffalo-New England under should have hit.
Yeah, that's tough.
By the way, anybody who had New England got a gift.
Yeah.
Buffalo should have covered that. I knew once they scored, they were going to go for two, and that was the end of that.
I knew once I looked at the Super Contest consensus picks, and Buffalo was number one. I was like, well, New England's covering this somehow. I don't know how, but they're covering.
And you saw once they got the ball back and they went down, they were going for two. They were going to cover that number. I had Buffalo as one of my picks. You did, too.
Mm-hmm.
I did not, thankfully. Let's dive into the picks, shall we? By the way, remember to rate and review. And look, if you didn't listen to every episode, here's a Christmas present I want from listeners. You didn't listen to every episode. Still go through your feed and download every episode. And after you download it, delete it. That's fine. If you want to listen, awesome. But I need a little push for downloads. I'm trying to hit a magic number for the third month in a row. So give me some downloads. Hook me up. Hook a brother up. Drop some reviews in there. We get the magic number. Debo will get a Carson Wentz tattoo or something. First game out of the gates. Sunday Night Football. NFC West title all on the line. 49ers at the Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch is coming back for this game. That's how big this game is. Pete, you're a little skeptical. Tweeting about Sean Alexander, various other Seahawks running backs. But the 49ers
Kurt Warner.
Are Kurt Warner.
I mean, you,
Chris
you go,
Warren.
Chris Warren. You go
his
back.
Son is a free agent. I wanted them to sign his son.
Go back and find out all the old Seahawks running backs because that's about what Marshawn Lynch will be able to do. I like Seattle in this game. It's not because of Marshawn Lynch. It's because I think Russell Wilson is going to be able to make a lot of plays. Plus, I'm getting 3.5 points. It's a tough place to play. They beat the 49ers already. The 49ers are still banged up. I think there's going to be opportunities for Wilson. I don't love this Seahawks team. I love the Seahawks in this spot. You're going to give me 3.5. I'm taking it.
Yeah, Seattle's banged up too, though.
I know.
3.5 is the line. Because of that hook, I kind of wanted to go with the Seahawks, but I'm just going to stay away. My lean would probably be the 49ers because they're getting a little bit healthier while Seahawks just aren't. Looks like Clowney's going to play, though, so that would be a big lift for the Seahawks. But Seahawks point differential is plus 12. I mean, that's not great. That's around an 8-8 team. It's worse than what the Eagles, Rams, and even the Buccaneers have. And now you got injuries is a big issue. I just think San Francisco is the more talented team overall. Seattle's home field hasn't been that tough to play in this year.
They've lost three times, right?
So I'm not that scared of that home field and that home environment. I think San Fran can go up there and win, looking at the number one seed. So I would lean to the 49ers, but it's not a strong play.
And if Seattle wins and Green Bay wins, then Green Bay is the number one seed in the NFC.
Right.
That is correct. I would lean towards San Francisco here. I mean, a little worried that the line is inflated because both teams need something. I just think San Francisco is a better team right now. I mean, the only reason to conjure up that Seattle would win and cover this game is Russell Wilson magic, right? I mean, that's the only thing the Seahawks are better at.
If you go to the quarterback scales, Russell Wilson better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's, undoubtedly. But
right.
You look at everything else. I think San Fran is pretty much stacked everywhere else. So
yeah. Are they stacked? They're better up front on the defensive line for sure. They're probably better on the offensive line.
I mean, I would take the whole defense over the Seattle defense.
The linebackers
are Sherman over.
Nobody's better than Bobby Wagner, the linebacker.
The 49ers are substantially better on defense than the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah, they're better on defense.
Right. So I don't.
They
haven't played great the last month of the season on defense.
Injuries to running back shouldn't, you know, kill your team. Because it's we always talk about how interchangeable those guys are. But if there's one team that's going to kill, it's Seattle because they lean on their running game so much.
Well, the 49ers lean on their running game and it didn't kill them and their guys get hurt. They just keep going.
They've leaned on the running game at time and they've passed it at time. Seattle just runs. That's all they do. That's their identity.
But that's why it's going to be Russell Wilson day on
it should
Sunday.
Be. Finally.
You think they're going to cut Russell Wilson loose in this game?
I do. You have to.
Why? Why would they suddenly do that?
Because if you go back and look at how you attack that defense, you throw on it. That's why. Look at what Drew Brees did. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They gave up a boatload of points in that game. I think they're going to give a boatload of points here.
You like the over here?
I do.
Yeah, I just haven't seen them being flexible enough to attack a different.
That's a problem. Are they flexible? They have to be though.
I mean, you see a lot of these teams. They have their identity. They figure they can beat you their way. So they need to have that mentality of being flexible. And if they
but like what's San Francisco's identity to run the ball, right?
But they've shown more flexibility.
They went on the road. They had to throw the ball against.
They play Arizona. They throw the ball over Arizona.
But they had to go throw the ball against New Orleans, and they did.
Right.
Now,
they've shown flexibility. Kyle Shanahan has definitely shown flexibility. I don't know that Seattle has.
Yeah, they have to here, though. They will. I like Seattle.
But that, I'm with you. But if they cut Russell Wilson loose, I want the 3.5. But last year they went to the playoffs against the Cowboys and it was like, here's what's not working.
I agree. They waited too long.
Over and over and over again.
I agree. They waited too long.
So why are they going to magically do it against San Francisco?
But they have to. They have no running game right now.
That's never stopped before.
They have nothing.
Yeah, that doesn't stop them.
Travis Homer?
They don't care.
Though I'm telling you, they will let him loose this week.
Is this your intuition or is somebody telling you this?
No, nobody told me this. It's just common sense. It's football common sense.
They don't use common sense.
They will today. They will this week. You watch.
Definition of insanity.
You take the Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm taking Russell Wilson.
I want the Seahawks
to win. Can you believe that's coming out of my mouth, the way I just described that whole scenario right there?
I want Seattle to win because then I get a much-needed victory on my Seahawks NFC West future bet. After the Colts and Steelers and Panthers drain my account, I need the Seahawks to replenish it. All right, Pete's got the Seahawks. RJ and I have nothing in that game. But it's Sunday night, you're going to bet on it, so maybe wait and see where the line goes. Eagles, -4.5 at the Giants. The over-under is 45. Pete loves the Giants, just like another Giants fan that we know whose name shall remain nameless, but he never paid RJ for winning the playoff bet. It's just
Prisco.
Who? Oh, yeah. That
hey, Prisco. No.
Didn't pay me. I was the winner.
Oh, yeah.
Don't take away the lone excitement I've had in the last
we
year
just
winning.
Just talked about
right.
it 15 minutes
pay
ago.
Attention?
He's already like, no.
Oh, my God. Get some memory, would you? Get a new memory chip put in that brain because you're missing something there.
It's Christmas, man. I'm a little foggy.
Hey, no, I do like the Giants. I don't love them. I like them because I think that game's going to be a field goal game. I think it's going to be Eagles are going to struggle here because the pressure's all on them. The Giants have played better on offense. I think they're loose on offense. And, you know, the Eagles are still limited outside the passing game. I think the Giants hang around. Eagles win the game, but they win it by a field goal.
Yeah, I can't lay this many points with how banged up the Eagles are on the road now. It's Zach Ertz. It says broken rib. It's just over and over and over. Who's going to play in this game? How can you lay points on the road with this team? You don't know who's playing. The offense has been playing well regardless, especially against bad defenses, and I would quantify Giants as a bad defense. But Giants took them to overtime in Philly in Week 14. Now this is at the Giants. Maybe it's a little bit bad matchup for them, and they have all their personnel back. I like teasing the Giants up to over 10 points. Get a 6-point teaser. Get them plus 10.5. I just can't see the Eagles blowing anybody
like
out.
That.
Everybody's
RJ.
Hurt, so.
I like that. Who's your other tease with?
Take the Chiefs. If you get a -8.5, get them down to 2.5. All they got to do is win by a field goal. Put those two teams
like
together.
Your teaser.
Teaser of
RJ.
The week.
Teaser of the week. Did you send that out on Sportsline?
I sent it out on CBSSports.com.
There you go. I like it. Teaser of the week.
By the way, you can get all of RJ's picks on Sportsline. Sportsline.com/join. Use promo code WHITE and get the first month for $1. Now, you can't get, you don't put your teasers on there, though, right?
I don't put my teasers in the sports line. There's no way to, game the system to do teasers, but I do a tips article every Wednesday on CBS Sports. This time it was actually Thursday because obviously it's Christmas week, but.
Good deal. I like that teaser.
It's on there.
I like it.
I could see this game going over.
I could see that too. If the Eagles manufacture offense like they've been manufacturing offense, but, and it's more of a play against the Giants defense, like you just said, RJ.
And I know weather can shift here and there, but it looked like it was bad weather for a lot of these earlier-ish games. This is a 425 game, so maybe it doesn't have that much of an impact. But when you look at the weather report for all those stadiums on the East Coast, it looked pretty bad for this Sunday. So,
well, it's looking like 48 degrees, which is not crazy cold for late December in New York. I guess New Jersey is what we should look up, but same thing, right? The rain is going to come in the afternoon. As of right now, it does appear that we will see 7 miles an hour wind. It's supposed to start raining fairly heavily in the afternoon. So that's something to watch out for. I actually think if you get rain in this sort of setup with not bad wind, that you could see the total drop down to like 41 or like 43 or something like that, like on game day, and might be value on the over because both these secondaries stink and they might be chumming.
It could be. You got to hold on to the ball, though, too. So, I mean, true. People fumbling the ball over the place, it takes points off the board.
It points.
It can. It depends on where you fumble.
Do you like anything in this game, Willie Boy?
The Giants seem too obvious, but then I look at our expert page, and you're the only one who took the Giants against the spread, and now I want to take the Giants, too. So, I took the Eagles in my picks. I will probably flip and go Giants if everybody thinks the Eagles are going to roll, because I think the opposite of what everybody thinks is going to happen will happen here. Like if everybody thinks the Eagles are going to roll, then the Eagles are going to struggle. I can see the Giants beating the Eagles and then the Cowboys sneaking in the playoffs. That's not out of control.
And then you take 3 points for home field, you know, add them to both sides. Would this game be 10.5 in Philly?
Right.
Like, I don't think so. Not with all the injuries. So it seems like getting a little bit of value on the Giants.
I'm with you there. And look, Philly's defense stinks. You come with anything through the pass, and that you can get after them. Titans at Texans, another divisional matchup that has big-time playoff implications. The Titans are at the Texans. The Titans are -3.5. The over-under is 45.5. This line opened, Pete, with the Titans, or I say RJ, because you have a best bet on this. The line opened with the line opened with the Titans -5. It fell down to 3.5 on the news from Bill O'Brien that he was going to play all his players and play to win. Here's the thing. He's not going to do that. He's saying that so they'll get ready in the event that Kansas City loses to the Chargers or looks like they're going to lose. And then he can get the guys out there and he can play everybody. If the Chiefs win or the Chiefs are up big, I think you're going to see inactives pop up. And you're also going to see him pull guys after the first half, after the first quarter. You're not going to, like, Deshaun Watson's not going to blow out his Achilles out there playing the Titans in a meaningless Week 17 game, right?
Well, it might not be meaningless, though. I mean, it probably will be, but it might not be. If the Chiefs lost, they'd be the third seed.
The Chiefs are at 1 o'clock, and this game is at 4 o'clock, so they will know.
I still think – I agree. I don't know why he would play the guys anyways. I sit him out. That's me.
But, and it seems like he's already laying the framework for that because Watson, I think, was on the injury report to start the week with a back injury. So, that just lays the groundwork to say put him as questionable and make him inactive.
And plus, motivation is a factor here, too. You're playing – one team's playing to get in. The other one's playing for a seed. Motivation is clearly on the side of the Titans. And I'd like the Titans in this game. I like the way they're playing. They're going to get Henry back. They'll run the ball. They'll be more physical. And the Texans' defense has been bad. I mean, Winston turned the ball over a bunch last week, but he had guys wide open. They couldn't rush the passer. I think Tennessee's going to go in there and win this game, whether they play or not.
And I've listed the Texans' defensive stats here, you know, before, but it's like against the run in the pass, they're both like bottom six or seven. And then you look at situationally red zone and that kind of in third downs, they're also like bottom two or three. So yeah, I think Tennessee can go up and down the field on them. Best bet for me is Titans -3.5 as well. They're still playing well despite back-to-back losses. They outgained their opponents in both of those. So it's not a thing where they're getting beat and they're outclassed by teams. They could easily just still be racking up wins. Eight of the last nine Tennessee games have also gone over. Texans defense, we just said, is bad. I would lean the over there too, but best bet's going to be Titans -3.5. I just don't think the Texans show up.
We'll put it in the parlay because we've all got the Titans as a best bet. I think if you're going to look over, I would look to the Titans team total over at 24.5. I think that's the safer bet because they're not going to stop scoring. Like under no circumstances will they cease to score. Like they're not going to get to 20 and be like, well, we're good. their defense isn't good enough to do that. You can't give up points. And so I think you'll see them continue to try to pile on. I think 28 is a bare minimum for the Titans here. The question is, will we get AJ McCarron? Will we get Deshaun Watson? You know, will DeAndre Hopkins be out there? Will Fuller's not going to be out there. That offense clams up a little bit anyway. So I would not, I wouldn't want to mess with the over itself personally, although I think they will probably get there. I would rather get the Titans team total over if it's me. Moving along to the Steelers and Ravens, another divisional game. Steelers minus two at the Ravens. The playoff implications for the Titans, if the Titans win, they are in. If the Titans lose and the Steelers win, the Steelers are in. That is why they are favored by 2 points at the Ravens, who have already clinched home field advantage throughout the playoffs and therefore will not be playing Lamar Jackson, will not be playing Mark Ingram, will not be playing Marshall Yanda, probably will not be playing Ronnie Stanley. Who else is sitting out for the Ravens? Earl Thomas, a bunch of people. So.
You can't sit out that many. Guys gotta play. So.
Right.
The stars aren't gonna play, and Lamar Jackson's not gonna play, and Ingram's not gonna play. But is RG3 better than Duck Hodges? That's the question you gotta ask yourself. And the answer to that question is yes. Clearly he's a better player. So, your backup quarterback's better than what's being started on the other side of the field. I know the motivations to the Steelers, but I think Baltimore's backups, whoever plays and whoever does start, the starters who normally play, who start, are better than what the Steelers will put out there. I'll take the points and take the Ravens.
Yeah, you see these adjustments in these games, and they're usually 6 or 7 points from where they should be. The Vikings game should be -7, and it's -1. And that's just, you know, there's 6 or 7 somewhere around there. If this was all out for Baltimore, they would have to be favored by 14, considering how bad that Steelers offense has looked, maybe even a little more. 16 points is way too much, like even knowing that Lamar Jackson's going to play. So I'm with you. Best bet for the Ravens +2. I mean, they're going to roll. The defense, you can't sit that many people if you're going to sit these offensive guys.
No.
You only get 45 guys in the active roster, so people got to play. And that defense can shut down Duck. We're going to trust Duck Hodges on the road, you know, laying points.
No.
I don't think so, not against this defense. Coaches also aren't resting. Harbaugh's going to be calling the game. It's not like he's going to take the game off, and he's going to play to win. He's not going to just kneel out and run away. So if Baltimore's going out, like I said, it'd be, I think, 14.5, and people would still be taking the Ravens. So you're getting great value on the Ravens here. Also love the under. I have best bet as under. 37.5, just because I don't see Duck playing that all. And even if Baltimore gets a little bit conservative, it's going to go under because that Steelers defense is really good.
It is good.
So they're playing for something. All these Pittsburgh games have been going under and under because their offense is bad and their defense is great. So
you got a Ravens and a Ravens under as the best bet.
Ravens and the under.
Wow.
Two in this game.
I have the same best bets. RJ's accusing me of copying his paper. Not true. I'm not trying to
shut me out. He's trying to come back, and he's going to shut me out.
It's don't send your picks in before his.
I mean, I just picked the games I wanted to pick.
You also didn't send in your picks for sport for our place for expert picks until like today. There was a vacance.
He's waiting for Wilson to send his picks. In
everybody's
so check him out too.
Everybody's picks were in except yours.
Yeah, you know what yesterday was? Christmas. How about Jesus, man.
So
it's not about
that means you can't send your picks in.
It's about Jesus and gambling on the NBA. Not about
everyone else got their picks in.
Everybody got their picks in. Christmas.
Mine are in and Wilson's in it. Call Wilson, give him crap. Don't give me crap.
I looked today. His were in. Yours weren't.
Mine are in.
He's waiting.
They're in right now.
No, he sent him in finally.
Oh, he did, but he was waiting till Wilson got his in, just like he was waiting till you put your picks on our text.
Devious.
I have no idea what Wilson's are.
Did you know what RJ's were when you made your picks today? Devious. You copied his paper to keep him shutting him out? You're trying to shut him out.
I did. I was typing mine. I was like, oh my God, these are so similar to RJ's. He's going to think I'm doing this on purpose. I was like, I don't care. I'm picking the games I want to pick.
Yeah, he did look at your picks before.
Cheater. You're in an email thread. How am I not going to see him?
We're gonna have to eliminate two of your picks today.
Take two away. That's fine. I got nine picks.
Since I'm making Brinson's pick anyway, I'm just gonna act like I'm the guy with 54% hit rate. So
right.
Congrats to me. I won this year.
Yeah, you guys should have been higher.
So all three of us like the Ravens.
And the Titans. Yes.
So they're in the parlay.
So we have two legs in the parlay, four games in. What can go wrong? We have the Ravens +2, the Titans -3.5. That is correct. A lot can go wrong. I like the under too. I have the under as the best bet. I mean, the Steelers games just don't go over. They can't score.
No, and
I
know that the Ravens.
Yeah, and they're good on defense. Like they're just not going to get above 35 points in this game.
I went back and rewatched the Steelers play Lamar Jackson. Their plan was outstanding against him. He had a bad game that game. Threw three picks. That plan should be studied the way they played him. It will be too.
What do they do?
Not everybody has the personnel to pull it off.
No, New England does.
What did they do specifically, Pete? Like, when you say?
Well, he played a lot of basic zone against them is one thing, and kept eyes forward, which you have to do. And they kind of made him throw outside the numbers, or tried to force him to throw outside the numbers, which I think you have to do.
So you do zone. Who?
Lamar Jackson. He's phenomenal with what he can do when he's able to run the ball. They limited his running too, and when you limit his run, it limits his pass. And that's the most important thing to do. His run. That's what I would do. First and foremost, his run would be eliminated.
Huh? You got to.
Yeah. Like I always say, if Mark Ingram beats me, he beats me.
So when you say take away the run, is you like you squat in zone and just don't let him beat you with the seams and then just have guys prepared to close in?
Don't let him throw the inside stuff because that's where he wants to go. If you look last week, there was nothing outside, nothing again. And so force him to go outside. When he can run, when Lamar Jackson can run, he puts so much pressure on those linebackers that everything over the back of him is wide open. How many times have we seen his tight end wide open in the middle of the field? Because he can run. So take away his ability to run, make him hand the ball off, and then play your defense off of that. And I think that's what people are going to start doing. The tight ends are wide open.
Easier said than done.
It is easier said than done.
New England has the personnel. They played him after the Steelers game and it didn't really help, did it?
He's a phenomenal talent when it comes to getting outside with those legs and creating all kinds of problems.
He's very good.
But you know what? His touchdown, his passes, the play receivers are yards in terms of being open is more wide open than any other receivers in the league, which tells you how his legs impact that.
Right.
So you got to take those away.
He does make some tough throws too. I mean, it's not all.
No, he can make throws. But it's a lot easier to play quarterback when you got wide open guys from your legs.
Scheme them open.
Or through the scheme, like Patrick Mahomes, who always has wide open guys too.
His guys are always wide open too when you think about it.
That's what I'm saying. Jets at Bills. Bills -1.5. The over under 36.5. This could be a scorcher. And you think a lot of points are going to be scored, don't you, Pete?
No, I don't. I think it's an under. I think it's an easy under. I think the Jets defense has actually played good football, and I think the Bills defense is outstanding. How long will Allen play? Why would you even play him? I don't get that at all. I wouldn't play him, but I think he's in for maybe two series, like a preseason game, and then you get him out, and then you get Matt Barkley. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I don't think the Jets are going to score a lot of points. I love the under in this game.
Yeah, Matt Barkley had to play the Jets last year. You know how many he scored? 41. So,
well, defense is a little bit better though.
A little bit. I mean, they're not great.
They're not scoring.
We've been watching them all the whole time. Yeah, I'm not. Bills are a run team, and the Jets have a great run defense. I would lean to the under too. It's just so low that I'm not going to take it.
It's scary because
my lean would also be to the Jets. I mean, the Bills aren't going to play Allen for 60 minutes, and the Jets want to go out with a bang.
How much do you think he'll
play? I can't. I mean, one series, I would probably.
Yeah, one or two.
You just don't want to get him hurt.
No,
you're not winning a game with Matt Barkley quarterback.
Get him out of there.
So I'd have this line at Bills -7 if they were trying, but in this situation, I lean to the Jets to win outright. They're going to want to close out with a bang. If they get a win here, they'll be 6-2 in the second half with Gase. That's something to build on. They'll blame the Darnold mono, and they'll blame injuries on their bad run at the beginning of the season. And they'll say, hey, we got something here. 6-2 to close it. Yeah, let's run it back and do it all over. So this will be a big win for him to go get, and the Bills aren't going to care. They're locked in.
Question for you. Buffalo at Houston, wild card weekend. What's the line?
The line will be Houston minus, I want to say, 4.
That's probably what I thought, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Grab them Bills.
Oh, yeah. I said that last week on the podcast. Like, or maybe, I guess, on the Saturday recap pod. Like, the Bills are going to be dogs going to Houston, and they are going to blast Houston.
By the way, there's nothing better than a nationally televised Bills game. And the crap that Brinson and Jamie Eisenberg and everybody send to me about Josh Allen on that text all day. Nonstop. You two are nonstop. It's unbelievable. You were just trying to get me riled up. I know what you were doing.
Yes, obviously.
What I want to know is which one of you notified the other and said, go all in on Josh Allen so Prisco gets angry.
No. It's just we just both know to do it at the same time. There's no side piece.
It's great because then Brinson's going all in on me, and then he throws that rifle shot down to Dawson Knox down there, and Winter goes
immediately.
Ooh, ooh.
And it's like all of a sudden the next day I got quiet.
Yeah.
By the way, I wrote the same thing here. I got the Jets as the best bet in this game. Like, why would the Bills play their players? They are locked into their playoff spot. Do not play your players. Sean McDermott comes from the Andy Reid, coaching tree. That Andy Reid loves to rest his guys. And I think you will see Sean McDermott rest his guys, knowing that he cannot suffer a major injury to somebody like a Tre'Davious White, Josh Allen, a Devin Singletary. There's so many guys you don't want to get hurt that you're going to, John Brown, exactly. And RJ spot on. This is what I wrote in my picks from, this Christmas morning or whatever. The Jets should be playing to win and get to 7-9, which will feel like a victory for Adam Gase, after the slow start. I think Le'Veon Bell could end up with a decent game running against the Jets, running against the Bills as well. So I will take the Jets plus 1.5 as a best bet. And Pete has the under. Pete does not have the under in the Falcons-Buccaneers game. It's in Tampa Bay. It's a pick'em. The over-under is 47.5, Pete.
Yeah, I know these two defenses have played much better as of late, and both of them, actually. Big improvement from what they were early in the season. But I think this one's going over. It's a meaningless game for both teams, unless you're looking at the Falcons and they're playing for their coach, which doesn't really matter anyways. I think they're going to score points. I think both sides will go up and down the field. Jameis will throw pick six. That'll get an easy 7 for somebody. Then he'll come back and throw for about 380 yards and 3 touchdowns. I think Matt Ryan will have a big day. I think this one goes over and it's pretty easy.
And he'll cash the, lead the league in passing yardage for me, because I have him at 12-1 to lead the league in passing.
Do you really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Loved him in Bruce Arians' scheme. There, I think the Tampa does have something to play for. They're 7-8 now. A win is not a losing season. And that's something to hang your hat on. First year coach taking over a bad team. And for Jameis, if we go 8-8 with that team, I gotta feel pretty good. Bucks overs are 11-3 this year. Jameis throws touchdowns to everyone wearing a jersey, like you said. So I expect him to throw a pick six to a ref at some point. I don't know how it's gonna happen, but he's just gonna do it. And Tampa blew out the Falcons in Atlanta in the middle of Atlanta's hot streak. So I think they can win here. The line's moved a little bit to Tampa's. It's not picking anymore on the market. I think as of Thursday afternoon, it was 1.5 or 2. So I would lean to the Bucks as well. I'd lean to the over as well, but neither of them are that strong, because I could see one of these defenses showing up a little bit.
Right.
The offense just gets
concerning,
up.
But I still think they're both going to play loose and throw it around and score a lot of points.
How did I not get on that Jameis Winston bet? How is that the one thing I didn't take before the season?
I don't know. I talked about it. I think we talked about my futures. I wrote it in the article I had. Liked it. 12-1.
You know, the Cook bet's not going to happen.
No. It came close, though. I mean, yeah. Doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he just got hurt. That's what we said. Dak Prescott the closest to Jameis at 45.99. So you can feel pretty safe unless Jameis gets hurt early. That he's.
Did you see all the 5 or 6 leading passers in the league? I think all have losing records or 500 records. Not even 500 records.
I didn't see that.
Was it Jameis, Dak?
Bill.
Matt Ryan.
Rivers, Goff, Ryan, and then Wilson at 6th.
It helps being down big.
Well, when you're down, that's not because of the way you play offense. It's because you're down and your defense stinks.
It's going to be a dogfight for something like Jimmy Garoppolo's at 36.93. Does he get to 4,000? Maybe.
Close.
36.79 for Rodgers. 36.63 for Derek Carr. He won't get there. 36.03 for Cousins. Yeah.
He blew his chance Monday night.
Yeah.
You don't have to rehash that. That was horrible. Mahomes, only, I mean, he only played, missed games, obviously. But Watson, 38.52, he should get there. I mean, maybe, though, that they sit guys. Who knows? Not going to be a lot of 4,000-yard passers this year. Just one 5,000-yard passer. Congratulations on your bet. I wanted to take the Falcons here, but the Bucs are too insane. Like, you can't trust the Bucs to do anything good, anything bad. They're going to throw picks. They're going to score points. I would probably lean over with you, Pete, but I might wait and do it live and just see if they get a slow start and you can get like a 40, 45 or 44. But if they come out and score points early, then, it's going to be tough to grab that. I wouldn't jump in on live because we saw what happened with them last week. Dolphins at the Patriots. Bill Belichick said, this is a playoff game, and he's not wrong. Win, Patriots win, they get a bye. They get a week off after that. Patriots -15.5, over under 45.5, Pete. 44.5, excuse me, Pete.
Yeah, New England's offense has been bad, but it came alive a little bit last week, and I think that's a good sign going forward, and they have to get it even more moving in that direction this week. And what better tonic than the Miami Dolphins defense? It is putrid, it is bad, and Miami's offense is capable of scoring points, even though New England's defense is outstanding. So I'm going to go over the 44.5. I think there's going to be more points than that scored here. Probably near 52 is what I think. So I like the over in this game.
Is there any worry about the Pats resting guys in the second half when they're up big?
But Miami will score some garbage points, though. If they do, they'll rest them on defense, too, so they'll get some garbage points.
Maybe they will. We just talked about you can't sit everyone, so maybe they do. But
yeah. I mean, Miami will score. They can score. They scored a lot of points.
They have. Pats expected a roll here, 11 if the Pats 15 games, though, have gone under 45. I just wouldn't trust going over on this total. I expect the New England defense to dictate the game. I mean, as much as Miami can score points, you could easily see like 24-3 going into halftime. Because the Pats defense is just so good, and Fitzpatrick, who knows what he's going to do. Miami only has 9 turnovers in the last 8 games, so I don't expect it.
I would take, as for the over, I would take 24-3 at the half.
Yeah, but then the Patriots stop playing, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd still take if it was 24-3 at the half, I'd take my chances with that.
I don't think they're going to stop playing. I mean, they lost in the Miami Miracle to this team last year. This is everything for the Patriots.
I don't think they'll stop playing at halftime, but I think third quarter, you could throw Stidham in there late in the third quarter and run the clock out.
37-10 and it's already an over. I could see that happening.
That could also happen. I mean, it's just anything can happen in this game. I would lean to the under, but I'm not strong either way. I wouldn't take it as a best bet either side of this.
The Patriots are actually pretty good against the spread in these spots. They've gone 19-11-2 as a 2-touchdown home favorite since 2015.
Week 17, though. Never tell what happened in week 17.
Right. Week 17.
No, Belt, they have to get a bye if they want to go to the Super Bowl. They're not winning 3 games. And the Chiefs are probably beating the Chargers in the same time slot, right? This is a 4:25 game.
No, it's at the same time. I just think that they can run the ball in the second half and not and just, you know, run up their lead and just run the ball.
Yeah, they're both playing at 1 o'clock, so.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this is a Ryan Fitzpatrick team that, I mean, he's.
You also don't know if Miami's going to show up. I mean, what they play overtime last week?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they don't come out.
Well, they're a bunch of young guys that just go out and play. They're not going to be veteran guys.
Maybe they take a week, you know, start their offseason a week early. You just don't know with these teams that don't have anything to play for.
I don't know. I just think it's going over. Loose.
44 degrees and sunny.
That's good weather.
Yeah. Not supposed to rain until the afternoon. So they should be clear. They might get some showers late. Maybe, don't know if that impacts it. I would lean Patriots here, personally. If Belichick's treating it like a playoff game, I don't think he's going to blow out his old, like, Brian Flores. I don't think he'll embarrass him. But he is going to want to make sure this is not close and cannot be – he doesn't want to see an onside kick at any point in the fourth. You know what I mean? Like, that's it's a huge deal for them. They have to get that bye, and they have to get the second seed, and they have to be able to have one home game and then go to Baltimore is their plan. And it has to happen. Raiders at the Broncos, a not-so-meaningless game. The Raiders can make the playoffs if a 4-game parlay hits. The Colts win, the Steelers lose, the Titans lose, and the Raiders win. And yet, the Raiders at the Broncos, Broncos -3, Pete, over-under 41.
You know, the interesting thing about that entire parlay is almost all of it can happen, but the one that concerns me most is the Raiders winning their part of it. Because I don't think they're going to. I think the Broncos have played good football lately. And back-to-back road games for Raiders, they celebrated like they won the Super Bowl last year if they won back in L.A. I think the Broncos are playing much better on offense with Drew Lock. I still am not a believer in the Raiders' defense. And I'm just going to lay the 3 points. I don't believe in the Oakland Raiders. Now, everything else happens. They look up at the scoreboard. There might be a little extra juice there, but I don't see it all. I don't see them getting it.
Yeah, if you're going to play the Raiders, get it at +3.5 because there's plenty of those out there. The Super Contest put out 3, though, as the line. My lean would be to Denver on that line, based on what you're saying. Oakland's overachieved in their record all year. They have a -105-point differential, and Denver's is -35. Now, to let you know how bad -105 is on a point differential, it's worse than the Detroit Lions, who have the #3 overall pick as of this taping. So they are worse scoring and allowing points than the Lions, and pretty remarkable that this team is available for in play for a playoff spot when that's the case. So yeah, I agree with you. Broncos playing well. I think they'll close out the season strong. I would like them to get the win here. I'm just a lean though, because obviously the motivation favors the Raiders here.
I like the Broncos as the best bet, and you know why? Because Derek Carr, who ruined my Raiders under by beating the Chargers, ruined my day by beating the Chargers because I had them as a best bet, like dumb. He stinks in cold weather. Jack Del Rio called him out the other day on it. 0-3 straight up, 1-2 against the spread in sub-40 degree weather. in December games, I believe, since 2016, whenever the hell he came in the league. The under, by the way, is 3-0 in those games. The Raiders total 32 points in those three games. They can't score. Josh Jacobs, I saw like Ian Rappaport tweeted his status is the same for Sunday after he had surgery. He's not playing if he had surgery. Get out of Dodge, man. This is insane. The Raiders are not going to score any points in this game. Drew Locke's going to have a nice game. And I think the Broncos are going to throttle them. I think it would, say 24-7. That's your final score. Under and the Broncos, two best bets in this game.
Can you imagine if the Raiders didn't blow the last game in Oakland to the bad Jaguars team? Mm-hmm. They'd basically be playing to get in, right?
I don't know what the tiebreaker is between them and the other teams.
But well, they'd be
alive for sure.
They'd be 8-7. And
the other two are 8-7.
Right. So
I just don't know what the tiebreaker is among all three of them.
Crazy.
They would be needing the Colts probably, though, because if you already need a loss, and a win for the Raiders, and then they also need the Colts to win, too. So, I mean, that Colts game is still going to affect them in this one. Do you want to put the Broncos in the parlay?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. So
by the way,
we got a three-team.
Producer fill-in extraordinaire Jacob tells me that Josh Jacobs' surgery was for a superficial skin infection, so it actually isn't going to affect it. You guys could have mentioned it. I just thought it was like a shoulder surgery or something.
Oh, yeah, it's skin infection.
The wrap was on his leg, so it definitely was on the shoulder. We just didn't know what what it was, you know.
Gotcha. All right, I was in the car after that got announced. I saw the tweet before I left.
Hey, when I was covering the Jaguars, a guy had a bone bruise and his skin got infected, and it was the most disgusting thing you've ever seen. They had to drain it. They had to drain the bone bruise, and then it got infected, and the blood came out in his boot and filled up his boot on the flight home. And they had to debride the whole. It was disgusting. He almost died from that. It's bad.
That's disgusting.
Lovely story.
No, it's just the brutality of the game. Just you think a little simple bone bruise, but when you go out and practice with it, and keep getting kicked on it, then it gets worse and worse and worse, and it gets infected. Bad.
I hope wife serves you tomato bisque for dinner tonight.
No, I wouldn't eat that anyways.
You wouldn't eat tomato bisque?
No.
You don't like a bisque?
No.
Like a lobster bisque?
My wife had lobster bisque yesterday at the restaurant for Christmas dinner.
Where'd you go?
Italian restaurant in Coral Springs called Tavolino. Outstanding.
It's a very frisky.
Yeah, we had a nice Goomba meal. It was outstanding. Nobody had to cook, which has made it even better, or clean up, which makes it even doubly better.
That's what you really want. Exactly. Okay. I think that does it. That gives us our parlay too. Ravens, Titans, Broncos.
That's a winner this week.
I like that.
Yeah, I
like
it too. Winner. I liked it. I like that one a lot. Huh? Fire on it.
Finally, winner.
What'd you say? 50 dimes. Finally. On it?
For sure.
RJ said put 50 dimes on it if you're listening.
It's going 1-2.
You think?
I don't know how it's going 1-2.
There's somebody out there who's getting rich fading our parlay. So like, man, every week.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times during the week I get a tweet from somebody saying, I've been fading your picks and making money. I'm going, glad I could help you.
Nobody tweets you and says, I'm tailing you. You're doing great.
No, ever. Never.
I had that happen like a couple years ago. I got really hot the final 3 or 4 weeks of the season. And people were like tweeting me. They're like, dude, what you got for week 17? What you got? I was like, whoa. I was like, what are you tailing me? Like, what's happening here? And apparently there were some people out there tailing
me. I've actually been pretty good in the last month of the season. I had a bad start to this season. Yeah. Bad. But like, I've been over 500 against the spread every week for the last four or five weeks. So. Remember that 1 week that you circled and sent to me on a text chain, Willie? What was it, 2-14 or whatever it was? What was that?
2-14, I think.
Well, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing when you go 2-14 this week. 2-14 this week.
Yeah, I'm going 2-14 this week.
You're going 2-14.
I'll go in the witness protection program if I go 2-14 this week. All right, Pete, let's get your best bets. A lot of them.
You got the Tennessee Titans. I'm choking over here over my picks. Titans -3.5. Bucks, Falcons over 47.5. Seattle +3. You don't need the 3.5. They're going to win the game outright. Play them on the money line. Giants +4.5 against the Eagles. Denver -3.5 against Oakland. Baltimore +2 against the Steelers. Buffalo, New York Jets over 36.5. And Miami, New England. Buffalo, New York under. Miami, New England over. You know, that gives me 8 picks. You know why? It's week 17 and I feel good about my picks. And I am catching RJ this week. That's my goal.
I threw a ton in also, so I'm giving you
how many did you put
you
in?
A chance. I'm eight, I think.
Eight? Where's eight?
You know, I got nine.
Three and five.
You thought you'd catch me. Because none of you are similar to mine.
Well, you're, except none of them are similar. You're going over. So, our picks here, you're going over. You're going 214 on the site. Well, you're going to be crying like a baby on Sunday night.
Well, we have three picks that are the same because they're in the parlay.
Yeah. You're going to be crying like a baby. You didn't make them all your best bets, though. You just put them in the parlay, did you?
All my best bets.
Oh, copying my, so you know what he's doing, RJ? He's copying. Yeah. He's copying everything we got. You're a baby if you do that. I'm not sending my picks in early. Don't send them in early next week. Playoffs count.
It doesn't matter. It's playoffs.
Playoffs count, by the way.
Yeah.
Whatever. Are we going to do the playoff? Over. We'll count the playoff picks as part of this, but we're also going to do the playoff game where we get $1,000.
Yes.
And get to spin
it again. I like that game. I was good at that game.
You like it because you won.
I won.
You're not going to like it after this year.
Why?
Because you're not going to win.
I'll win again. I'm the reigning champ. I will win again. I'm a king of the postseason. I've always been good in the postseason, by the way. I just had to, I'm the one guy that actually said the Giants would beat the Patriots twice in those playoff games. Remember, Brinson? Were you around back then?
That's true. I was here in 2011, second year. All right. Pete Brisker's got to go. RJ will be
guys.
Back to break down the rest of the games. Talk to you next week, Pete.
All right, guys.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, welcome back. Brisker has departed us, but RJ and I soldier on bravely. Reminder, you can watch this at youtube.com/CBS Sports. Redskins, Cowboys, RJ. Cowboys coming off the game that probably is going to get Jason Garrett fired, but if it doesn't, this will be the game that gets him fired unless they win it and the Eagles lose, because that's the only way the Cowboys can get into the playoffs. Cowboys minus 11 at home against the Redskins, over under 44.5. You and I agree. Too many points.
Yeah, the look ahead line was Dallas minus 7.5, and why did it move 3.5 points? Now maybe it was because the look ahead had baked in Dallas might not need this game and rest players, because if they would have beat the Eagles, they would have been locked in. So maybe that's at stake, but Keenum, it's not Case Keenum. Keenum is not a downgrade at quarterback from Dwayne Haskins, so you don't move the line off that. Something's clearly wrong with Dak. When you look at him throwing those passes, he's been misfiring, overthrowing guys. A shoulder, obviously, is an issue. And clearly, his throws were off in the Eagles game. They should have been able to beat the Eagles, and he just wasn't healthy, it didn't look like. And even though a loss would lock Washington into the number two pick, so you figure motivation is there for them to lose, is that going to matter to Keenum? He's a free agent. Is that going to matter to Callahan? He's not going to be the coach. So might as well go out with a win, try to beat the Cowboys. And I think think they do have a chance, I would not mind betting the money line in this game. Because not only is plus 11 too many points, just with an unhealthy Dak and the way the Cowboys shrink in these big spots, I don't know why you wouldn't just take the money line here. Washington could be on a 5-0 against the spread streak. They should have covered versus Philly. That was that garbage defensive touchdown at the very end that stopped that. And they didn't get the ball in overtime against the Giants. If they would have got the ball, they could have won the game there. The Redskins could be on a 5-0 streak against spread streak, and they're not because their last two games have ended weirdly. I think they're playing really well. I don't see how the Cowboys cover this number.
I'm with you 100%, and I agree. Case Keenum, not a downgrade. We saw early on in the season, he was winging the ball down the field, and they were getting vertical with it. Terry McLaurin, Steven Sims, this team has weapons. Darius Geis, of course, banged up, but I mean, the run game with Adrian Peterson will be fine. I mean, is this Adrian Peterson's last game as a professional football player? It's possible, right? I mean, he might come out motivated to go out on a bang, and he's always kind of had some juice going up against the Cowboys. He's not going to pass Marcus Allen on the all-time touchdown list. He has 111, but he did pass Walter Payton. And if he got two more, I mean, like, he'd like to be, you know, give himself a little cushion up there, at number four on the list. What's that?
You think he needs a cushion on Walter Payton?
I just think he'd like to be a little, you know, like, he doesn't want to be passed by somebody in the future.
Then you think 113 will do it?
113 has a better chance at 111. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I think they're very, very close.
Well, yeah, but like, if you look at the number of rushing touchdowns, it is, I don't know, it feels like it's going to take a lot of rushing touchdowns. You seem skeptical of it.
I don't think there's much difference between 113 and 111. Passing Walter is a big thing for him, and he's done that already.
Well, what about Barry Sanders catching him or Marshall Faulk?
Not ruling it out. Marshall looks good.
Or Frank Gore.
Frank Gore is going to play till he's 100, so you can't get to a number to stop him from passing you.
The next two active guys behind AP are Gore at 21st, who has 79. LeSean McCoy tied with Terry Allen at 28th, has 73. And then you have to go all the way down to this sneaky one right here. Mark Ingram has 60. That's a lot.
He's not going to get there, especially playing in Baltimore. Lamar is going to snipe some of those touchdowns. He ain't getting there.
Todd Gurley, 58.
He's going to retire by the time he gets to 70, so that ain't happening.
You know who else has 58? Cam Newton.
I don't think he's getting there either.
Oh, my God. And then you have to go, oh, my God, all the way down to Zeke Elliott is the next active guy with 39.
He could do it.
No.
Sure he can.
He might.
I mean, he'll definitely pass 111. I don't know about 113.
all right, let's go. That's good. You got me. Browns, but we're both on the Redskins here. We like them. Browns minus 2.5 at the Bengals. The over under here, 44.5. I can see no good reason, RJ, why you would want to back the Browns. Are they playing for Freddie Kitchens? Do they want Freddie Kitchens back? The Bengals are terrible, but they're like trying hard. I feel like the Browns are checked out. Their season's over. Odell Beckham's not going to be gassing it for this game. What is it? What's he trying to win for? Jarvis Landry's going to try? Baker Mayfield's going to be good all of a sudden? Please.
Yeah, the reason you would back the Browns here is because they have more talent, but you could say that for a lot of their games, and it hasn't helped them out so far. I would lean to the Bengals. You can probably get it at 3. I put it up at 3 at Sportsline. So look for those Bengals plus 3. Neither team's playing well. The Bengals did show some fight coming back on Miami. Andy Dalton's playing for his next job. Browns D has completely fallen apart since the Steelers game. And in one of those games, they played Cincy. Cincy outgained them 451 to 333 in week 14. You could see something similar here in Bengals getting the win at home. I can't imagine betting on this Browns team on the road, so lean to the Bengals, but since it's 2.5, it's only going to be a lean in the contest. But if you can get 3, play the Bengals.
All right. Bears at Vikings. The Vikings minus 1, the over-under 37. This is a game that I was going to play as a best bet, but I was thought you'd be mad that mine were too similar to yours. I love the Bears in this spot. The Vikings are locked into the 6th seed. Mike Zimmer's going to rest, guys. They're not chasing anything. They got humiliated in Green Bay on Monday night. They're not going to come back and just throttle the Bears. The Bears have a good defensive front, and they will be looking to throw the ball with Mitchell Trubisky in the season on a high note, despite not making the playoffs. I think the Bears easily win this game, despite it being in Minnesota.
Yeah, Matt Nagy made some noise early in the week about maybe resting players. I'm like, resting them for what? You're going to the offseason. They're 7-8 on their record now. They could get to 500 with a win, and I think that's going to feel less like a disappointment. You know, there were high expectations in Chicago this year, but at least finishing at 8-8 is better than finishing with a losing record. I also expect the Vikings to rest their players, if not the whole game, you know, at least after a drive or two, treat it like a preseason game. Otherwise, the line would be -7, you know, Minnesota. So the line is baked in that they will be resting, but Bears having that win in front of them, that's why it's a best bet for me, +1. Even when the Vikings were trying, they've had zero success against this Bears defense. Averaged 218 yards a game in their last three, dating back to the start of 2018, including getting blasted in the season finale last year when they did need it. So what's the difference going to be in this game? I expect Chicago to try hard. I think they're going to win. My lean would be to the under 37, but best bet is definitely going to be Bears +1.
I would like the Bears as well, and I think that under's a pretty good bet too. Colts -3.5 at the Jags. Wow, you have the Colts here. I like the Jags. Not enough to make them a best bet. I do agree with you on the best bet on the under, though. As I wrote in my picks, I wrote, what is the under on this? And I looked it up. I was like, 43. They're not getting there. These teams don't score. They don't want to score. They don't try hard. They're both sort of washed up. They're slow, methodical. They like to run the ball. I see no way that these guys get to 45-plus points.
The Jags have less than 300 yards in four straight games. Last year's finale, they had 119 yards when they had quit on the season. They definitely look like they've quit on this season. They've quit on their coach. I think their unders have gone, their totals have gone under in four straight season finales, so they just don't like playing in Week 17. Colts haven't played well either, but they showed last week they can roll against bad teams. They had some special teams help, but even you take away the special teams touchdown, they still win by double digits easily. So Reich also gunning for 8-8. That'd be big to avoid having a losing record. In their situation, they thought their season was over. Andrew Luck retired. If you can scrap this team with all their injuries to 8-8, I think that's an accomplishment. That's why best bet for Colts also -3.5. Jags are terrible. They completely quit. 1-6 straight up and against the spread in their last seven. It should be 0-7, but somehow the Raiders fell apart in their home finale, which the city will never forgive them for. So I think Colts are going to roll in this game. Under 43 is also a best bet. It's going to be another one of those 28-6 games like they had last week.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. Under here. And if they score early, bet the under live. Cause if you get something in like 48 or like 50, jump on that live under. Cause we saw they just stopped scoring. It's the Falcons, and that's not exactly a stout D. Saints -13 at the Panthers, over under 46. Panthers playing for nothing. They've been long since eliminated. Haven't won in 5 years, I don't think. And the Saints are playing for home field advantage. There's a reason why they're 13-point favorites at Carolina. That's such a huge line, but I would not want to bet against the Saints in this spot, RJ.
Yeah, nobody's going to take the Panthers here. Like, nobody. But my lean would be to the Panthers. They look terrible, but you know, I'm just going to take a ton of points in an outdoors game for the Saints. Look ahead was 10.5. If there's any value, it's going to be on the +13. And then these trends have not been working for me. Every time I observe a trend, it seems to completely go against me. So I hesitate bringing this up. But all time, road teams favored by double digits in Week 17 in these spots where one team is expected to quit and the other team's playing for something. Road teams are 9-2 straight up. They are 2-9 against the spread. A lot of wins, a lot of times not covering. I think that's going to be the case here. Saints win. It's going to be by 8-10, 11 points, something like that. And the people that laid 13 with the Saints are going to feel kind of dumb.
Yeah, you might be right on that. And like, no, you're right. Nobody's going to want to take the Panthers. By the way, the weather in Charlotte for Sunday. I need to tell my wife this. She's driving to Charlotte on Sunday. 11 miles an hour wind, 66 degrees, tons of rain all day long. Does that impact how you would feel about the over-under or the spread here at all?
Well, you would think with the Saints, they would run the ball more if it's raining, and the Panthers have the worst rush defense in the league, so it should actually be easier for their game plan to run the ball. They don't need to chase a record with Michael Thomas. He already has the record for receptions, so maybe that's not going to be a factor there. I would still try to get him 5 or 6, get him over 150. That would be a nice thing. I don't know who the next guy's going to be to get 150 catches in a season, but it's a pretty big accomplishment, and then from there, just make sure
Barry
everybody's
Sanders,
healthy.
So
healthy,
Paul,
yeah, Walter Payton. So just rest up for the playoffs, you know, lean on your second half lead, and then yeah, go get it in the playoffs.
Another big spread on the road. Packers -12.5 at the Lions. The over under is 43. Like the Saints, the Packers are playing for home field advantage, and that's why they're a huge favorite. Although, I mean, I think you make the case that the Lions with David Blau, I can't even do it anymore. My voice is going Blau. they're worse than the Panthers somehow.
Yeah, and just going back to that same trend, I mean, it applies here. Road favorite by more than double digits, 9-2 straight up, 2-9 against the spread. It's a dominant win by Green Bay on Monday night. The offense still doesn't look like it's fully clicked, though. Lines are a mess. I don't trust David Blau against a defense that's played very well. Under 6-1 in the last seven for Green Bay. And if you get in that second half where Packers are up big, I think they could also rest players and get ready for the playoffs. So my lean would be to the under 43 here. I don't think there's going to be a ton of points. But also be wary about taking the Packers minus 12.5 because they don't, you know, road teams don't cover these big spreads in week 17.
Ugh. I'd pick Packers and Saints. And you're right. It is very, very obvious. Like if you had to pick one of those teams, one of the dogs, who would you go? 77% of the bets on the Saints, 66% of the money on the Saints. That's also a red flag. 50% of the bets, 42% of the money on the Packers. A major red flag.
Yeah, my lean, if you make me pick one of those dogs, I'm probably going the Lions. They haven't looked great. I think they've lost, 8 in a row? But at least David Blau has a little more experience than Will Greer. Will Greer looked terrible in his first game. And they've shown a little bit of signs of defense here and there. So I could see them, you know, kind of showing up for this game. But okay. I don't think it's going to be great.
I mean, with both of these teams, you're hoping they're
up. We're talking about low-scoring games in both these. So you're covering your 12.5 by getting like a 20-10 win, that kind of thing.
Right, like it's 20-3. Late in the game, and the Packers or Saints give up a touchdown to David Blau or Will Greer, and they don't care because they're up another two scores.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like we saw in Minnesota, Detroit before. Might have to go with the picks on that. Not going to like doing it, but I will be willing to try and pick up ground on it. Chargers at Chiefs. Chiefs minus 8.5 over under 45. We are of the same mind here. Kansas City minus 8.5. Andy Reid wants the three seed, as he should, because you're going to get the Titans, Steelers, or Raiders, depending on who ends up in the playoffs, as opposed to getting the Bills. And you have a potential home playoff game, depending on what happens in the following week. So no-brainer here that he's going to try and play his guys, and I think the Chargers have quit, and they're going to run up the score on them.
So you definitely would want to play the Bills instead of the Titans, is what you're saying?
I'd rather play the Titans.
The other way. See, I don't know. I mean, the Titans look like a pretty good team. If you told me it was going to be the Steelers, I would definitely want to play the Steelers instead of the Bills.
I would rather play the poo-poo platter of Titans, Steelers, Raiders than know that I'm playing the Bills.
Yeah, I don't. The Bills have played very, I'm not going to, you know, crap on the Bills. A very good season, playing well, great coaching staff, great defense. Titans just, they've been so good over the second half of the season with Ryan Tannehill that I'm a little scared of them if I'm either one of these teams. Now,
they beat the Chiefs.
Chiefs don't really need to be scared about a ton of people. They're playing great. One of two or three best teams in the NFL right now. Chargers continue to be a mess. That's why Chiefs minus 8.5 is the best bet. Only thing I worry about is the weather. We've been talking about, you know, weather on the East Coast is going to be pretty bad on the eastern part of the United States in these games. So maybe it's a little bit lower scoring than we expect. But the Chiefs need this game, you know, two seed in play. These have been fantastic since the bye. Four games, they've allowed 31 points total. That's 8 points, you know, a little bit less than 8 points a game. And they rode turnovers to win in LA. I think the passing game is going to be much better here. So you could even see they won by 7 in that other game, and this is going to be a bigger blowout. I think the line should be closer to 13 considering, you know, what Kansas City's playing for and how bad the Chargers have looked despite their stats. So 8.5 is a great value for us. And like I said earlier, tease it down at 8.5, get it to 2.5. They're not losing this game. So you're going to win by at least a field goal. And you know, you got to think 65, 70, maybe even 80% of these times. So it should be a good teasing team.
Yeah. And if you're watching on YouTube, and you wouldn't know this if you're listening, because you can't see it, but our producer Jacob just threw up a great graphic. The Chiefs have allowed 9.6 points per game over the last five games. They've seen a drop in their last four games of 1 yard per play on defense. That is a huge drop. The defense is playing really well. The under, since Andy Reid took over in Kansas City, 12-5 in December home games. The math seems fuzzy, but we'll go along with it. This is probably right. I love the under here. I think the under is a good bet. I think the Chiefs are a good bet. I think they're going to win this game 24-10, 24-13, something like that. They have the type of defense right now, the way it's playing, that Philip Rivers will throw an interception in the fourth quarter as he's trying to come back to cover the spread.
And do you think this Chargers team is going to come out here and try hard on the road in Kansas City? Like, I don't see why they would.
The weather actually doesn't look that bad in Kansas City, by the way. Cold. I take that back. 41 degrees, 13 mile an hour wind. You think a team from LA? Team. And I, don't be fooled by River's success in the last like 2 years in Kansas City. I think it's a sort of fake. They were the one game they had where they won and it sort of caught everybody by, you know.
Better defense this year too.
Much better defense. Yeah. And much worse offense for the Chargers. So, yeah, I'm with the Chiefs and I like the under as well as a best bet in that spot. Final game. Cardinals at the Rams. Rams minus three?
Rams yeah, that's three? The line they gave us in the contest was minus three, but it hadn't been hung because nobody knows who's playing in this game. Kyler Murray had that injury at the end of last game. Rams have made some stink about not playing players. They could rest some guys, so Vegas doesn't know what to hang, so they're just going to leave it off the board, it looks like, for a while till they get more clarity.
Well, I bet the Rams at minus seven, thinking that Kyler Murray was not going to play and the line would move up to 10. So when I saw three, I got a little nervous there. It is off the board. I understand the logic in the Cardinals wanting to play Kyler Murray because you want to be able to get him reps. I don't understand why you would play him. I really don't. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and I think the market is, the market's going to the Rams though, so I think it's more, I mean, it's going toward the Cardinals because the line's coming down, so maybe they're just expecting the Rams to rest players since that's what Sean McVay's talking about and they expect Kyler to play. Cause the line was, I believe Tuesday, midday, it was like 8.5 at the Circa, the one place that had it open that I saw in Vegas, and then by 24 hours later, midday Wednesday, it come down to 3.5. So I think that's just the expectation right now. It's based off of McVay's comments and most places don't want to post a line because they just don't know who's playing. I think he's trending towards playing Kyler Murray is. McVay, I think he probably might sit some guys just not to exacerbate some of these injuries. Line would be Rams 7 or higher if we knew they were going all out, but too much uncertainty. I mean, I'm not going to take this in contest. We shouldn't be best betting this because it's not a real line anyway, so I'm just staying away.
Yeah, I'm now regretting that bet that I put on the Rams. I was thinking I'm all smart getting the Kyler Murray injury. Dang it. Oh, well. Just have to buy back or something like that. We'll figure it out. That's it for the games. And I'm with you. Don't play anything on this unless you see some injury news and you can react and the line is up at your book, but that's probably not going to happen. If I was doing a pick'em pool.
And it's probably in the pick'em pool, probably seven at least, you know, take the Cardinals there because it sounds like the Rams might rest guys. So you're probably getting value on the Cardinals. Just take them.
Well, take the Cardinals and then it is an afternoon game. Yeah, 7.5 on the CBS Sports Lock pick'em. So yeah, take the Cardinals.
Got to take the Cardinals there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that's it for the show. Our parlay, Titans minus 3.5. Oh, wait, you know what? I did that wrong. Pete Prisco's best bets are Tennessee minus 3.5, Tampa Bay over 47.5, Seattle plus 3 against San Fran, the Giants plus 4.5 against Philly, Denver minus 3.5 against Oakland. Baltimore plus 2 against Pittsburgh. Buffalo, New York, Jets under 36.5. Dolphins, Pats over 44.5. What about yours, RJ?
My best bets are also Tennessee minus 3.5 at Houston. They're going to roll in that game. Chicago plus 1 at Vikings. Vikings are going to rest some guys. Indy minus 3.5 at Jacksonville. Jacksonville has quit. Indy Jacksonville's under 43. There's not going to be points in that game because the Jacksonville offense is pretty bad. Washington plus 11 at Dallas. That line doesn't make sense to me. Baltimore plus 2 against Pittsburgh. They're going to win the game with their backups. Pittsburgh, Baltimore under 37.5. No points in any Pittsburgh game, so why would they start now? And Kansas City minus 8.5 against the Chargers. They are going to stomp them.
All right. And my best bets are the Denver Broncos minus 3, Denver under 41, Redskins plus 11, Kansas City minus 8.5. I also have the Kansas City under at 45.5. That is just way too high. The Jets plus 1.5, Tennessee minus 3.5, the Colts under 43, and the Baltimore-Pittsburgh under 37.5. Our parlay, RJ, so simple three-teamer against the spread, no monkeying around, no funny business. Titans minus 3.5, Ravens plus 2, Broncos minus 3.5. Wouldn't hate if you wanted to money line that either and just take the spreads out.
This one's a winner. We get in trouble when we throw these totals in because it seems like we're well under 50% on the totals we agree on. So these totals out, just go with the spreads.
And we all agree on these three games. Like usually it's like, oh yeah, I can see myself getting on board with that under and then it doesn't cash. So we did this the smart way, fundamentals, back to basics, week 17. Now it's time to get hot. There's no better time to bet than the NFL playoffs, and we will have pick shows for you every week and get you covered. Make sure to check out our picks pool, playoff picks pool. You can do that as well. RJ, talk to you next week, buddy. Later.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.